Good morning. My name is Carnesia, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the NBPE investor call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. John Boozer. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, operator, and welcome to everybody to the NB Private Equity Partners investor update for December 2017. I'm here today with Paul Daggett, and we'll be making the presentation. And just like to start with a happy holiday season to each of you. If you flip to page two, it goes over the NBPE objectives, which are the same as they have been, to provide investors capital appreciation through the share price growth, as well as current income through our dividend. Our strategy is to invest directly into private equity-backed companies across the capital structure. The manager, Neuberger Berman's private equity team, manages over $50 billion of private equity through their private equity platform, and we do this on a very efficient basis with lower all-in cost to investors than other listed private equity vehicles. On page three, it's a brief overview of the private equity platform of Neuberger Berman. You can see we invest across the private equity marketplace in primary investments, secondaries, co-investments, private debt, as well as other yielding strategies. The focus of NBPE is on two of our strategies, the co-investment strategy and the private debt strategy. Our platform is at the core of private equity. We do approximately $5 billion annually over the past 3 years across our entire platform. We have very many active fund relationships with over 400 plus of those. Our team is very deep, 130 dedicated investment professionals, supported by about 50 other professionals within our group, and our global presence with offices across the U.S., Europe, Asia, and South America. If you flip on to page four, some of the key performance highlights for 2017, starting in the upper left, our NAV per share has grown at a 13.6% clip through November over the last 12 months. And our share price has lagged that at only 5% return. Going to the lower left, our cash flows have been very strong in 2017. You can see $229 million of distributions from investments, $302 million funded into new investments, and we paid dividends, two dividends totaling $24.4 million. In the upper right, because we do direct investments, we don't have to overcommit, and so we have a very high adjusted commitment coverage ratio of 559%, so a very solid capital position against our total private equity fair value of $935 million. And again, a dividend, which I mentioned a moment ago, looking at a rate, it's 3.9% annualized dividend yield on the share price and a 3% annualized dividend on the net asset value of our portfolio. Page five are some summary statistics from our balance sheet. And just to highlight a few things that have changed, you see on the right side of the summary balance sheet is where we were at the start of the year and as compared to the left column, which is where we were at the end of November. So you can see the income investments have increased since last year, and this involves a lot of items that have been realized and a lot of new investments made. The equity investments have increased substantially from 475 to 658, and Paul's going to spend some time discussing how we've increased our equity investments so substantially. And then you go down two lines, you'll see the legacy fund investments. They have continued to decline and naturally as they become older. So they decreased from $153 million at the start of the year to about $120 million at this point. Also, if you go about four more lines further down, you'll see our credit facility borrowings, which were at zero at the start of the year, are now at $60 million as we've increased our investment pace to get slightly overcommitted relative to our equity. And then you'll see the net asset value per share over the year, if you go about four more lines down, has increased from $15.91 at the start of the year to $16.86 currently. Flipping on to page six, several looks at our portfolio diversification. Cover those quickly. Not great changes since last call. But on a geographic basis, we continue to be North American focused with a secondary focus in Europe and a little bit in Asia and the rest of the world. Go to the top right, you'll again see that our portfolio consists primarily of loans to and direct equity investments in sponsor-backed buyout companies, mostly in the small and mid-cap pet space, but also in the large cap space. Going to the lower left, you see our industry diversification, and again, you'll see a broad diversification across many industries there, a point that we focus on maintaining that. And then in the lower right, you'll see our vintage year diversification, which is the year each of our investments was made. And what you'll see, if you look year by year, starting in 2017, going to the earlier years, by the time you get from 2017 to 2013, that represents 86% of our portfolio. So because of the high turnover rate of our portfolio, as we realize investments, we keep a very young portfolio, which is a sign in private equity of a very healthy portfolio. Page 7 is our portfolio investment activity and liquidity. And you can see year after year, there's a substantial amount of contributions made into new investments, as well as distributions coming back. Going to the right-hand bars for 2017, you'll see that we've made $302 million of new investments in 2017, predominantly in equity, $222 million, and we received back capital from realized investments of $229. So another strong year in both, and Paul, in particular, in the upcoming pages, is going to discuss some of our new investing. So I'm going to turn it over to Paul now.
Great. Thank you, John. So turning to slide 8 and looking in more depth at the direct equity portfolio, on the left of the page, you'll see that we have currently 84 direct investments with $658 million of fair value. That is made alongside more than 50 general partners, so very well diversified by private equity sponsor. On the bottom left, you'll see that the growth statistics that we showed you in June, these are actually the same statistics, but just to make the point that the portfolio is producing good EBITDA and revenue growth, and we've had very good exits during the year, which I'll get to in subsequent pages. On the right, looks at the top 10 investments, and a few things to point out. First of all, there are two public companies in the top 10. 9% of the equity portfolio is currently in public positions, and these are positions where we don't necessarily control the stock ourselves at this point, but they have gone public with the underlying sponsor, and for that reason we would expect them to be sold down over time once those lockup provisions come off. So it's nice to have that, and that should be a source of future liquidity. There's also one exit on this page which has been announced but is yet to be completed, which is Warranty Group. You see third from bottom there. That should be completed, we hope, early next year, and we'll actually receive public stock as part of the compensation for that exit. A few other things to point out. First of all, the portfolio in terms of the new investments or the top 10 investments is well diversified again in terms of industry. So you can see if you look down the industry column, there's only one industry represented twice, which is financial services, otherwise very well represented across different industries. And a point that John made, we have made a number of new investments which are in the top 10 in 2017. And the reason for so many investments being in that top 10 is that we have taken the decision that we would like to be somewhat more concentrated in the equity portfolio. So you can see the 20 million bite size has become our target where that is available to the fund. Our thinking there is that as we have built a strategy that is a direct strategy, but also gives some of the benefits of a more diversified portfolio. We felt that having 84 positions in the equity portfolio was somewhat too many. Over time, we would like to reduce that, and for that reason, we have increased the bite size to about 20 million, as I say, where that's available to the fund. Moving on to slide 9, and looking at the exits we've had in so far in 2017, we've had 11 exits during the year. Two of those are to be completed but have been announced. Seven full exits in that, one partial exit, one IPO that we've had so far this year. So good exit activity. That's returned about $117 million in cash, as John mentioned, from these exits that we've had so far this year, to our pending, as I mentioned, so that will increase that cash amount that we should receive as a result of these exits. These are very well diversified by the vintage year of the investments we made. Capsugel in 2011 was the oldest company, but a lot in the 2012, 13, and 14 range. And just to note that if you look at the diversification of our equity portfolio by the vintage year of the investments we've made, less than 5% is from 2012 or older. In 2013 and 14, the current portfolio has about 28% of investments from those 2 years. About 35% is in 2015 and 16. And just referring back to page 9, you can see that we are seeing exits from 13 and 14. We've even seen two exits, one full, one partial, from 2016 investments. So as you look at the vintage year diversification of our portfolio, one thing we'll say is that we do have a bias towards somewhat shorter-lived investments, and that shows through on this page, and that we think the vintage year diversification of our portfolio as a whole is in an attractive place. On page 10, we look at the results of the exits on the left. We've had particularly strong multiples of invested capital from the exits we've had so far in this year, with 4.4 times multiple of invested capital on those exits. That, by the way, only includes the full exits completed, so it excludes IPOs where we haven't completely exited yet and those pending investments. But very strong results, and you can see that actually that's significantly stronger than 15 and 16, which were good, at around 2 times money. The other thing to point out, and it's more of a valuation point, is the slide, the chart on the right, which looks at the valuation uplift on exits. So it compares the exit value to where we held those investments 3 quarters, 2 quarters, and 1 quarter prior to those exits being announced. And you can see that 3 quarters prior to the announcement of exits in our portfolio, over the last 3 years, we've had about a 40% uplift from exit to that 3 month prior period. So, sorry, 3 quarter prior period. So what that tells you is, at least in the case of the exits that we've had, we have been very conservative in our valuations relative to where those exits have actually occurred. On slide 11, we look at the new equity investments, 11 and 12 actually. So we've made 19 new equity investments so far this year of about $204 million. It's been a very busy year for us. And as we always talk about with MBPE, we start with a top-down view of the world in terms of where we think attractive places to invest are. But probably more importantly, we also work from the bottom up, and we look at things on a transaction-by-transaction basis. And as John mentioned, in 2016, we were fairly conservative with our investment pace, particularly on the equity side of the portfolio, whereas so far this year, we've invested about twice as much capital as we did in equity investments. And that is not a decision to invest more capital. That's the ability to invest more capital and very strong deal flow that we've seen so far this year. And I would say if you look at the 19 investments on slide 11 and 12, there are three broad themes across these investments. First of all, they've all got very strong sponsors. And in each case, there's a reason that the sponsor is a good sponsor for the investment that they're making. In terms of the sector knowledge they have, in terms of their ability to be extremely operationally intensive and add value to those companies. The second is, in some cases, there are secular tailwinds that we see. A good example of that is MHS, the second investment down on page 11. This is a business that makes material handling systems for the courier industry. So what it does is it makes equipment that is used by UPS or FedEx or Amazon in their sorting centers, and essentially the secular tailwind that we're investing in here is the move from offline to online retail and the increase in packaging that that should continue to result in. The third theme is more defensive or less cyclical sectors. So a good example of that is the very first investment, USI, which is a U.S. Mid-market insurance broker. Insurance tends not to be a cyclical sector, so somewhat defensive in its nature, produces very strong cash flow. And as you look at these 19 investments, all of them fit into at least one and in many cases two of those themes. And for that reason, we feel really good about the investments we're making. I will say that as we're making investments today, whether it's in the income side or in the equity side, we are working under the assumption that during the holding period, there may be some type of downturn in the global economy or the U.S. economy. And we do stress test these investments to be able to produce the types of returns that we want to make, even in a downturn scenario. So while we've been making these investments, those two themes I talked about, the second and third, become very important in terms of that recession-proof nature that we're looking for in these investments. Moving on to the income portfolio on slide 13, as John said, we have actually increased our pace somewhat on the income side, not as much as we have on the equity side, but we nevertheless have made a number of new investments this year in this space. We have 36 income investments with 158 million of fair value. The cash yield today is 8.7% with a 12.1% estimated yield to maturity. And you'll see a number of other statistics that we often show you, which tell you the type of investments that we have in this portfolio in terms of asset-like companies in market-leading positions with good equity cushions and strong EBITDA margins. And these are all performing credit, so no covenant issues on this portfolio. Then on the right, the top 10 investments, again, you'll see very well diversified, but there is more of a focus on the defensive types of companies for obvious reasons, given that this is a second lien, some first lien, but mostly second lien debt portfolio. So industries like technology, where you have strong recurring revenues and a sticky revenue base, and healthcare tend to be very attractive in these types of investments. So there is slightly more in those two industries, for example, than you might see in our equity portfolio. 14 looks at the new income investments we've made this year. We've made about $80 million of investments in these 12 investments. And in terms of pace, as I mentioned, in 16 we did less. We did about $50 million during the year, whereas in 14 and 15, we made 140 million and 190 million of investments. So the pace has slowed down somewhat, and that is because the market is competitive. It's that we are finding investments, but we are finding investments slightly more difficult to source in this type of market. Where we have found them, though, we found investments that we believe very strongly in the underwriting, and we're still seeing attractive yields in those particular cases. So they are lower, to be clear, than we were seeing in 14 and 15. But if you look on the right, with yields of L plus 6.5 to L plus 9.25 and LIBOR being significantly higher than it was 2 years ago, these still give us cash yields of anywhere from 8.5 to the low 10%. So again, we're happy with the investments we're making, but the pace has been somewhat slower. Moving on to 15 and looking at performance, and again, John touched on this in some of his introductory slides, but the top line looks at our net asset value growth. We show it in both dollars and in sterling, and really in the NAV sense, we think that dollars is the more relevant number. Most of the portfolio is denominated in dollars. We do have a U.S. focus in the portfolio currently, as we mentioned, and we're happy with the numbers year to date. 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, I think we've done a good job managing the portfolio and it has performed very well. In terms of share price, obviously our shares until the beginning of this year were listed in US dollars. Today, the London listing is in sterling. The Euronext listing continues to be in dollars, but probably most of the people on this call tend to be sterling denominated investors. And so you'll see this, the share price has lagged somewhat this year at 2.8% increase. Part of the reason for that is the currency headwind that we've seen. We've benefited from that in the long term, as you'll see in the three-year and five-year numbers, where the sterling numbers are better than the dollar numbers. So far this year, the reverse has been true. But if you compare like for like, if you look at year-to-date share price increase of 12.5% a NAV increase of 9.4%. That tells you that naturally the discount has closed somewhat. Some of the things we've done this year, which included moving, giving full voting rights, moving to the full London listing, I think have been beneficial to us, but we are still working on a number of things, particularly around investor relations, to really try to get the message out about how well the portfolio has done and how well positioned we feel it continues to be. In terms of dividends and capital position, as we've mentioned, we have had a large amount of realizations from the income portfolio. We've invested at a measured pace in new income investments. That's meant that the coverage has increased very slightly during the year. And at this point, we are just over 50% covered from income from that debt portfolio in terms of the dividend, which we paid two dividends this year of 25 cents each. However, we are more than nine times covered based on realizations from the portfolio. So a question we often get is, do we set our dividends based on the income portfolio? And the answer to that is no, that we have always stated that we set our dividend with the thought that we never want to decrease it. So while the income portfolio coverage has reduced, we do feel that we have a very large coverage that continues to come from realizations and a very strong capital position. So we feel very good about the sustainability of the dividend. And then on to the NAV and share price development and really the message here on the discount, which is on page 17. The discount today remains in the low 20%. We think that makes this a good opportunity for the shares. Ultimately, they've increased a little bit from where they were at the 30th of November. We're at about £10.25 today, so it's narrowed again slightly. We think that the portfolio is very well positioned, as I mentioned, and all of the things we've done over the years, from moving to direct to introducing the dividend to moving to a full listing, I think have been beneficial. And as I mentioned, the one thing that we have been very focused on in the last 6 months is making sure that our message gets across to not only the existing investors, but to potential new investors. And that is something that we will plan to focus on going into 2018. I would say that the level of the discount is the one thing about the fund that we are not satisfied with, and we'll do all we can through those investor relations efforts to find new investors and to try to narrow that discount. And then on page 18, again, it's a summary. We've covered many of these things, but we do feel that MBPE offers an attractive value proposition with capital appreciation potential from the equity investments as well as income coming from that private debt portfolio. It does pay a dividend of 50 cents a year, which has an attractive yield on it at the current share price. And as I mentioned, we do feel that is sustainable. The capital structure and commitment coverage are very strong. And finally, one thing that we haven't discussed yet is that the fee structure is particularly attractive if you compare us to listed fund of funds, and we only have a single layer of fees on the vast majority of our portfolio, which happens to be a lower level of fees than you'll pay on most listed direct private equity funds. And those two things combined, we think, makes the fee structure also very attractive. So we think we've got a very good portfolio, which we're offering at an attractive fee structure. And all of that tied together, we think, makes MBPE a very attractive investment opportunity. And with that, that completes our prepared presentation, and we'd be happy to take any questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And at this time, there are no questions.
Okay, thank you, operator, and thanks everybody, for dialing in. And as always, Paul, Peter, who couldn't make it this morning, and myself are available to talk if you have any questions about NBPE. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.